in past generations, it was just commonly released if it was causing any restriction of the tongue, particularly that impacts on babies that are being breastfed. And that hasn't changed. There's nothing new about that. It's still a legitimate procedure when function of the tongue is restricted. And I can go into more detail of that if you like. The incidence of tongue tie is believed to be around about 3 to 4% of babies, although some estimates say it's up to as high as 7 to 10%. But it depends what sort of tongue tie you're talking about, and this is where the water gets a bit muddy and the information gets a bit muddy, because just in recent weeks there's been some media reports about a phenomenon of parents being advised by various health practitioners to release what's called a posterior tongue tie or a submucosal tongue tie, which is believed to be the cause of breastfeeding problems and other problems, physical digestive problems, and that's the controversial part.
Okay, so what's the difference between the two? Can you talk us through it?
Sure. Look, a classic or obvious tongue tie is just a little piece of membrane under the baby's tongue, which varies enormously how short, how long, where it's positioned, and it's a very individual thing. What people need to realise is this is a variation on normal, and the existence of an obvious or visible frenulum under the baby's tongue doesn't necessarily mean there's a problem. It doesn't necessarily lead to function problems, and very often, and if you ask around, you'll find adults who have lived their lives with a frenulum that may restrict their tongue movement, but they've managed to speak adequately and eat without any problems. But then in other cases, it has caused lifelong problems. So it's a very variable thing, and it's a very it's actually a variation on normal, let's say, that might not impact on all types of feeding, but particularly at the beginning with breastfeeding.
When you say it's caused them lifelong issues, what kind of issues?
Well, I've met people that have had a tongue tie. I've met a man that had a very restricted tongue movement, and he just couldn't eat a steak. If he ate a steak, his mouth and tongue would be sore for days afterwards, for example. And speech problems can certainly be caused by very restricted tongues, but not always. So, as I said, it's an individual thing, and I guess my purpose in talking about this is to emphasise the importance of for babies, when we're talking about babies, especially breastfed babies. The most important thing is that there's a comprehensive assessment of the breastfeeding by a breastfeeding specialist, lactation consultant, or an experienced midwife, or a community health nurse who is experienced in assessing breastfeeding and assessing tongue function. And we have a specific tool, a written tool that we can use to accurately assess what is or isn't functioning well about that tongue and how it may or may not need dividing, surgically dividing, and to go ahead in the direction that is appropriate for that particular mother and baby combination.
Is that what you're hearing, that more mothers are being advised to give the snip to their baby?
Yes, and that's my concern, is that advice, as I am becoming aware of, is being handed out by people who are not breastfeeding specialists. And that's my concern.
Can the condition be treated in another, less invasive, a non-surgical manner?
Look, yes, it can. And very often, tweaking or adjustments to the positioning and attachment to achieve a deeper latch, in many cases, that is enough to get the breastfeeding relationship going and the milk supply established and a happy outcome. But often it's not. The most classic tongue ties that are restricted will need releasing, and it's a very minor procedure, that release. Very minor, like cutting your fingernails. I've had babies sleep through the procedure. You know, it really isn't a big deal, but it can make an enormous difference when that tongue is released to the breastfeeding effectiveness. Where it becomes an invasive procedure is when the cut is made to the very base of the tongue, where they're actually severing the base of the tongue from the full floor of the mouth, and that's being done more and more by dentists using lasers. Ear, nose and throat specialists can also release the tongue that way if it's necessary, but they use scissors. But either way, that posterior tongue tie release or submucosal tongue tie release is actually a very big procedure, and it's going to take time, quite some time to heal from, and it's going to affect the breastfeeding adversely initially as well. So it needs to be carefully considered before it's done. The parents need to have good advice and a full breastfeeding assessment before they go into this procedure. But within the community, it's become the awareness of this condition has become heightened amongst mothers and mothers groups and certainly tongue tie support groups there are out there.
Tongue tie support groups, Lois? Really?
Yeah, seriously,
becoming a little bit overdiagnosed?
Absolutely. That is my opinion. That is my opinion. Is certainly being overdiagnosed and improperly diagnosed by non-breastfeeding professionals. You're talking about allied health and other lay people that will look in a baby's tongue, even share photos of each other's baby's tongues on Facebook and say, oh, yes, that's definitely a posterior tongue tie. You need to see this or that doctor or dental specialist to have that divided. So that's inappropriate. That's very inappropriate. It's a whole picture that is required, a whole assessment of what's going on. Every mother-baby combination of nipples and breasts and baby's mouth are absolutely unique. So it's not a one-size-fits-all thing. You really do need to get a good overview of the entire story before you go leaping into having this procedure done. And look, it may be in certain cases where it is a genuine restriction, it really can save a life, a breastfeeding relationship. But I'm concerned that many procedures are being done that are not necessary, and it isn't the quick fix that the parents have hoped for. And I've met a number of women mothers who have been down that road and found it didn't fix their problem, and they've paid big dollars to have this procedure done. We're talking $1,000 for the procedure. So, you know, it's not a small thing, and parents are really committed to trying to fix the problem. But my concern is that we need to know for sure that there is a restriction and that that is an appropriate intervention. And in that case, go for it. But in a lot of the procedures and recommendations for division, my concern is that other things, other less invasive, just improvement in skills, technique, other ways, less invasive ways could actually improve the breastfeeding relationship. Alrighty.